Well, good morning, church. How are you feeling today? Should be feeling pretty good after yesterday's win, huh? Let's give it up for the Hoosiers, Big Ten. So exciting if you are a Hoosier today. Hey, welcome to Emmanuel. And if this is your first time joining us at any one of our campuses, if you're watching online for the first time here physically at the broadcast campus, we just want to celebrate you one more time. Can we give it up for our first-time guests? Thank you for accepting someone's invitation. Remember to text the word hello to 65248. We have a little gift for you. And of course, it's great to see everyone else. So this Friday, my wife went down to Lynchburg to hang out with our kids for a little bit. So I've been by myself Friday and then today. And so I wasn't able to get a tattoo scheduled. I tried, but wasn't able to do that. So I got to thinking yesterday, I'm by myself, you know, what's a married guy gonna do when he's by himself? You know, it's a rare situation I find myself in. So I went to the gym and did a little workout, sat in the sauna. That was fun. Had some cool conversations in there. And then I was hungry. You know how that happens, right? And so I thought, well, what am I gonna do? I don't really want to go home and cook for myself. That's you know. So I just thought, like any other single dude, I just went to the Golden Corral. I just went right there. And last night, by myself, I said, you know, I haven't been there in a while, and, you know, it's just, I thought it'd be fun, just kind of have options, you know. So I went there, and I put my headphones in. I just kind of, I like to people watch sometimes, you know, so just watching everybody get their food. And I sat there, and I watched a documentary on Milton Friedman on the free markets and how the power of free markets. It was just this incredible experience. And I learned a lot about his economic theories, eating my chicken. It was fantastic. And then I went home, and you might think I put the Big Ten game on, the IU game. Nope, didn't do that. I went home, and I watched an entire documentary on Ulysses S. Grant, one of the key generals in the Civil War. And guys, I had the most fantastic evening. Now, I know I just disappointed a bunch of you because I didn't watch the game and I didn't engage and all that stuff, but I think it's important a lot of times, sometimes, for your pastor to disappoint you. I really do. So I'm just going to feed that up to you, and sorry I didn't do that, but I did hear that they won this morning. So anyway, Jackie will be back on Tuesday. That's a lot of fun. So we're in this series right now called Advent. Pastor Cody started it last week. Didn't he do a great job last week? So awesome. Thank you, Pastor Cody. Delivered an incredible message on hope, and I'm so glad that he let us in, that he is, Scottish? Is that right, Scottish? Because we were wondering. We really did think you might be Colombian or something like that. So, he did a fantastic job, and this whole week, I've just been focusing on hope, and hopefully you have as well. We have devotionals for you in the lobby. If you want to pick those up, we printed them out for you. I think they're $7 each. If you don't want to do that, you could do the free digital version on the app to follow along all through the month in this series. Those are available for you as well. And so today, what I want to do is talk about week number 2 of Advent, and that is peace, the word peace. We see this word everywhere during Christmas time, right? It's in our songs, it's on our coffee cups, it's on our floor mats, it's on our decorations, it's on our Christmas cards, it's on the towels. Like, peace is everywhere around this time of the year. Do you agree, yes or no? This word just pops up everywhere. But sometimes it's hard to know, like, okay, but what is peace? It's hard to define. One of my favorite authors is Dallas Willard. I think he gave the best definition of peace that I've ever heard, and that is that peace is rest of soul rooted in the goodness of God. And I think I know where he got this definition from, and we're going to look at a scripture in a little bit to kind of, I think, show that. But even with this definition, it's kind of hard to get your brain wrapped around that, or like, how do I ascertain that in my life? Peace. How do you get peace in your life? We see the word peace everywhere, but it's really hard to grab hold of it and make it a reality in our lives. I wrote it like this in your notes. We see peace, we see the word peace everywhere, but we struggle to have peace in our, say it with me, in our heart. We struggle to do that. And I think there are many reasons for that. I think, especially during this time of the year, it seems like pain surfaces. Isn't that true for you? Some, like, all the things that have happened, and you get around the holidays, and maybe there's someone in your family that's no longer with you, and now you got to go through the holidays with an empty seat, an empty chair. And so that kind of steals some of your peace away. Or maybe you're at a job that you really don't like, or you work for someone that you really don't like, and so every day you got to face that, and that kind of steals away your peace. Or maybe you have a child that is wayward, and they're kind of into some things that they shouldn't be into, maybe drugs or alcohol, and so as a parent, that kind of steals away your peace. Or maybe there's someone in your life that's sick or has cancer, and it's always on your mind, and it's just pulling on you, and so that kind of robs you of some peace. Maybe it's just that you have a general disappointment in life, that you thought life would turn out different from you for the way that it has, and you had different dreams and goals, and they never took place, and because of that, you have this nagging sense of like disappointment in your life, and that steals away peace. Or maybe you're in a marriage right now that's just not working out. There's just tension. You guys aren't getting along. And so there's really no peace in your life. It's understandable why very few people experience rest of soul rooted in the goodness of God. But yet in the midst of all of that pain and all the hurt that we experience, especially sometimes around the holidays, I want to read you a verse, a promise that Jesus gave us in John chapter 14. Verse 27, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with a gift, which I think is a great word around this time of the year, because we're going to give gifts, we're going to receive gifts. Jesus says, I've got a gift for you, peace of mind and heart. And there's something special about this peace. This peace, the peace that I'm going to give you, I'm sorry, and the peace I give you is a gift that the world cannot give. It's spiritual, it's divine, it's from another place, it's from the heavenly places. So therefore, do not be troubled or afraid. Jesus offers you and I peace in the midst of our pain, in the midst of the difficulty, the difficult job, the sickness, the loved one that passed away. You can still have peace. So, Advent. Last week, Pastor Cody said the word Advent simply means the arrival or anticipation of the arrival. We celebrate Advent for 4 weeks because we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and then we also are anticipating his second coming. And so I love Advent because what it does is it pushes away the tendency to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas and shopping and lights and buying and going and parties, and you got to visit with everybody, and it kind of anchors us back into the story that God is telling, which is a story of hope, it's a story of peace, it's a story of joy, and it's a story of love. And so last week, Pastor Cody lit the first candle representing hope, and today I'm going to light the second candle, and that represents peace, the second candle of Advent, peace. Jesus said, I've come to give you a gift, peace of mind and heart. This peace is something the world can't give you. Therefore, do not be troubled or afraid. What does Jesus mean about this peace? What is this gift, and how do we grab hold of it to make it a reality in our lives? Well, we have to understand, first of all, what it is. There's two kinds of peace that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about peace with God. Everybody kind of put your hands out really quick if you can without hitting your neighbor. Just kind of overlap your arms. I know some of you are too cool for school, so you're not doing this. I'm going to ask one more time. Just everybody kind of put their hands out really quick. In the back, you guys can do it. I can see you not doing it. Thank you. I mean, you come to church one time a week, right? At least do what I ask you to do. I want you to think about this is you and this is God. So when we think about peace with God, it's the coming together of you and God. It's the coming of get together of man and God. So we're going to do that with me real quick. Just I want you to remember this. This is peace with God. It's reconciliation. That's one peace that Jesus comes to bring. It's what Christmas is all about. Then there's another peace, the peace of God, which is different. So everybody follow along. We're playing games where everybody in the multi-sites, come on, I can see you down in Columbus. Can we give it up for Columbus really quick? I was with you guys last week. Love you guys. Columbus is awesome. It was great. In fact, a little side note, after the service, I was down there kind of talking about the new building and everything and saying, hey, I want you guys to jump on board. You know, this is your campus. A little old lady came up to me afterwards and she says, Pastor Danny, I'm the person you've been looking for. I was like, oh, you are? I didn't know I was looking for you. And then she proceeded to tell me she's committing $15,000 to the Columbus campus. Just a little old lady. I love it. Thank you so much for that. So encouraging to be down there with you guys last week. And so where was I? Oh, yes. So the peace of God, right? So everybody put your hand up real quick. And then we're gonna, this is what the peace of God represents. It's the peace of God coming from heaven to your heart. This is peace with God, and this is the peace of God coming into your heart. We're gonna talk about these two different types of peace and how to claim them or ascertain them in our lives. If we look at the Christmas story, which I hope you do, in Luke chapter 2, I hope you guys read your Bibles. How many of you guys read your Bibles every day? Yeah, let's go, let's go. We gotta do this every day. My streak is like 1,200 days in a row. I plan on keeping it going. Did it again this morning at 5:30. When you open up the book of Luke, or you could watch Charlie Brown if you want to, you hear the Christmas story, and this is how it plays out. Joseph and Mary, they go to Bethlehem to be registered for the census, right? While she's there, she gives birth. There's no room in the inn, so she's got to give birth, put Jesus in a stable, in a manger, in a stable. And out to the right, or maybe to the left, we're not quite sure, there's these shepherds, and they're watching their sheep, and all of a sudden, an angel shows up. And the angel speaks to these shepherds and he says, "Do not fear. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people, for the Savior, the Messiah, is born in Bethlehem today." It's a great statement. We're actually going to talk about it next week. And then all of a sudden it says in Luke chapter 2 that a host of angels join this one angel who made the first statement. And this host, it actually says an army of angels gather around this one angel, and together, all of these angels, it had to be an incredible sight. Together in unison, the host of angels say this: "Glory to God in the highest heaven," and say it with me, "peace on earth with whom God is pleased." These angels don't know exactly what's going on. They don't know the whole story, but here's what they know. They know that this baby is going to bring peace. Now, if you've ever had a baby, we just saw some babies up here. We did baby dedication here at Stones Crossing. What we know about babies is that the last thing they bring is peace. Have you ever had a baby? They don't cooperate. They yell and scream. They often smell horrible. They're just not a source of peace. Now, they bring joy and they make you happy and you know that you all maybe even cry. But peace, no, they don't bring peace. But this baby's different. The angels say this baby, because he is the Messiah, he is the Lord, he will bring peace to earth. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus is referred to someone who brings peace. 700 years before the baby was born, before Christ came to this earth, this is what the prophet Isaiah said. For a child is born to us, a son has been given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Pause there real quick. This hasn't happened yet. This is a prophecy of his second coming. Have you noticed that the government does not rest on Jesus' shoulders? I mean, have you noticed anybody? Not on this country, not in any country. Like, there's chaos in the world today because the government does not yet rest on Jesus' shoulders. But when he returns, it will, and that will be a good day. And you're gonna want to be part of the family of God at that point. Anyway. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And then Isaiah says it, Prince of Peace. That word prince means Lord, master, the one in charge. Jesus is the one in charge of peace. He brings it to earth in two forms, the peace of God and peace with God. Let's talk about peace with God first. Peace with God. You know, it doesn't take long when you read this book to discover that human beings, you, me, every human being who's ever lived, is at odds with God. We are just cross with him. And it's not really your fault because Adam and Eve, they screwed it up. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God told them not to eat of a certain tree. They ate and then sin came into their life and that sin passed to their kids and their kids and their kids and that sin passed to you. And so because we're sinners, we're at odds with God. Now we have our own sin, so we're guilty as charged. But it all started back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Paul said death came through Adam's sin and sin passed on to you and I because all are sinners. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, this is what it says, "For everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard." God's standard is perfect holiness, perfect righteousness, and every single one of us falls short of that standard. That puts us at odds with God. The old preacher, Billy Graham, I was listening to one of his sermons the other day, and he said it best. He said, the main problem with humanity is sin. Sin separates us from God, and that's why God sent Christ. And then he would preach a little bit more and give an invitation, and thousands of people would put their faith in Christ. It was unbelievable. One of the greatest preachers of we've ever seen in our lifetime. And he nailed it. He stayed on message. The problem with humanity is sin. Sin puts us at odds with God. And that is why God sent Christ, to remove the penalty of sin from our life. The Apostle Paul said it best in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For God made Christ who never sinned. That's an important piece. Christ never sinned. Why is that important? Why did Paul stick that in there? Because Jesus had to be perfect. He had to be the perfect offering for our sin. If Jesus had sin in his life, he couldn't have been the offering for your sin. Yes? You with me? So he lived this perfect, sinless life so that he can be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right. Remember what I said, what is peace with God? It is the coming together. It is the reconciliation of God and man so that we could be made right with God. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why the baby showed up that day in Bethlehem, so that you could be made right with God. I love the way Peter explained it. I feel like Peter took Paul's words and he put it in his own vernacular. Listen to what he said. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned. He was completely spotless, perfect, and sinless. But he died for who? Sinners. Yeah, who's that?
Me.
Me and you. He died for sinners. Why did he die for sinners? What is Christmas all about? He died for sinners so that he could bring us safely home to God. You know, in our world today, amen, amen, you can clap for that. That's what Christmas is all about. In our world today, I meet a lot of people in different places and have lots of conversations with Muslim people and Hindu people and Jewish people and all different types of people. And I'm sure you do too, as you work with people all throughout our community. And it's a very, very popular view today that as long as you have some sort of spirituality, like, you're good. Like, if you're a Muslim and you're sincere about it, awesome. And if you're Hindu and you're sincere about it, awesome, great. And if you're Jewish, and as long as you're sincere about it, who am I to judge? There's a really, even among Christ followers, there's a belief out there that says, yeah, I don't really mess with people in their religion. Like, as long as they do their, like, all faiths kind of lead to God. And I empathize with that, because it kind of sort of feels like the loving response or the loving thing to say, but it's just not true. Jesus said it like this. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Christianity is extraordinarily exclusive. Why? Because Jesus is the only one that took care of our sin. Christianity is the only faith system that actually solves the problem that you and I have, which is sin. The Muslim faith doesn't do it. The Jewish faith doesn't do it. The Hindu faith doesn't do it. The Buddhist faith doesn't do it. All of those faith systems, however, whatever there is that's good in them, they fall short because they do not deal with the primary issue that you and I have, which is sin. Now, when it comes to Christ, he goes to the cross and he dies for our sin. And when you place your faith in him, your sin is transferred to his account and the righteousness of God is transferred to your account and you're made right with God. Does that make sense? And that is why Christ came. That is what Christmas is all about. Christmas, honestly, is just a rescue mission. It's what it is. Christ came to rescue us from our sins. And you receive this peace with God, not by coming to church, not by being a good person, not by giving your money away. That's not how you receive this peace. You receive this peace by faith. It is a gift. And it cannot be earned. You cannot be religious enough, good enough, nice enough. You must turn from your sins and place your faith in Christ. And that is when you receive the peace of God. And for some of you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end of this message. That's the peace with God. Now let's talk about the peace of God, the peace that comes from heaven into our hearts, or at least it's supposed to. This peace is different. This peace, it has to do with your emotional state, your current emotional state right now. How are you feeling right now? How are you going to feel tomorrow? When I say feel, what I'm talking about is, are you feeling anxiety, anger, frustration, discouragement? Like the real feelings that you and I have on a day-to-day basis, on Wednesday, on Thursday. Jesus came to do something about your emotional state right now. The emotional state that you experience in your day-to-day living as you deal with your spouse, your children, your boss, as you try to handle money, as you try to handle someone's sickness in your life. That's what God's peace wants to affect in your life. I love what Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says. The prophet Isaiah says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose minds, thoughts are fixed upon you." See, when it comes to the peace of God, the peace that comes from heaven down to your heart, it's conditional. You see, the peace with God is received by faith. It's a gift. Nothing you could do to earn it. But the peace of God that comes from heaven to your heart, it's conditional. In other words, it doesn't get zapped into you when you pray a prayer. Hello. It comes through something called practice. You may be surprised to hear that. Trusting God takes practice. In Matthew chapter 8, there's this great story. Jesus is in a boat. He's taking a nap. His disciples are with him. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee. A storm comes out of nowhere, and it's a big storm. And water's coming in the boat. And these are professional fishermen. They've seen a lot of storms. This storm scares them so much that they freak out. They wake Jesus up, and they say, "We're about to drown." In fact, one gospel says that they say this to Jesus, "Don't you even care about us?" The storm is so bad, they think they're gonna die. Jesus is sleeping. So he wakes up and he makes a statement to them. It's an amazing statement. "Why are you so afraid, guys? Why have you so," say it with me, "little faith?" "Well, isn't it obvious, Jesus? The boat's going under. We're not even close to land. We're gonna drown. This is an opportunity to be afraid." What is Jesus doing here? You know what I think he's doing? I think he's running a little test. I think he's gonna be giving them an opportunity to learn and practice trusting God so that they can, instead of giving into fear, they can have peace. And so what does he do? He got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. His disciples are in so much shock that they literally say to themselves, "Who is this man? Who is this guy that can speak to the winds and the waves?" Think about this with me. Is it possible to go through the storms of life and not freak out? If you knew that you had Jesus in the boat with you who could speak to the winds and the waves and they would obey. Why does Jesus do this? He does this to show them like who he is so that the next time they face problems, the next time there's a storm in their life, and there would be, they would not freak out and give in to fear. You see, trusting God takes practice. The other day, I was out just shooting hoops by myself, and I love to just shoot jump shots. It's psychologically fulfilling or something. Just seeing the ball go through the net. I don't need to play with anybody. I just want to be by myself. And I do it so much that the other day I made 60 free throws in a row. I was like, I think I am Steph Curry. I cannot miss. It just got locked in. I'm just out there enjoying myself, you know, and just, it just hit me, you know, what if you just switched hands? So I did, and I moved in to like 3 feet away from the hoop instead of 15 feet, and I get my left hand out, and I'm, you know, just doing this, and I mean, it's hitting the glass. I mean, it's airballing. I cannot shoot the ball with my left hand. It's ugly. And I'm 3 feet away. I think I made 3 out of 10, and I'm like, gave up. And I thought to myself, what if you took, like, I don't know, 2 hours a day for 5 years, and you just worked on that little lefty thing, and you backed up and just, you think I could get as good with my left hand as I am with my right? What do you think? Like, how did I even get to the point where I could hit 60 free throws in a row? And I thought to myself, what if I just practiced, then I would get better. What if I prayed about it? What if I went home and said, you know what, I'm not going to practice. I'm just going to pray. Lord, I would love to shoot 95% from the free throw line with my left hand. I would love that. You think he would answer that prayer? No, he wouldn't. Just a little insight. That's not a prayer he's going to answer. You know what he's going to say? You practice. Practice. Why do we think that attaining peace is any different from attaining any other skill? Why is it that some of you came here today and you thought, well, maybe I'll hear something and I'll get zapped and everything's going to change and I'll have peace and, you know, rest of soul rooted in the greatness of, like, why do you think that? Who taught you that? Did I? Some other preacher? Why do we deal with faith in a way that just doesn't work in any other realm in our life? Like, if I want to get good at peace, then I've got to practice peace. What is Jesus doing on the boat? He's giving them an opportunity to say, oh, so we don't need to fear because you can speak to the winds and waves and a calm's going to come. Ah, I get it. And now next time, I'm going to try, instead of freaking out, I'm going to trust. You see, I think one of the things that undermines our attempts for peace is this thing called control. Any control freaks out there? And you know what control is? Control is acting like God. I got this. I'm just going to control my life. I'm going to control my husband. Ladies, come on. Any hands want to go up? Husbands, I'm going to control my wife's spending. I'm going to get her to stop spending so that the UPS truck will stop coming to the house. Good luck. I'm going to control my kids. I'm going to control the economy. I'm going to control my money. There's only one person in control of the elements. Only one. But when you take on that role in your life as the control person, then the only result is worry and anger. Because let me tell you something, you will never be able to control it. But we do, we're trained that way. And then if we can't control it, then especially these are the moms out there I'm speaking to, not that dads don't do this, but moms I think struggle with this more. Then if we can't control something, then we'll just sit around and worry about it. Because then by worrying, we think we're controlling it. That doesn't work, ladies. You see, the peace of God it comes by trust, not control. You have to let it go. And that takes practice over and over and over again until you get better at it. Now, I do not want to shoot 90% from the free throw line with my left hand. I don't want to do that. That's not a goal. So guess what? I'm not practicing it. But if you want peace, you have to get in the court, in the gym, and practice. So when I wake up in the morning and I do my devotions, which I do every day at about 5:30, I'm not just reading the Bible. You know what I'm doing? I'm practicing. Lord, I trust you with this. I trust you with this. I put this in your hands, and I let go of control here, and I let go of control there, and I acknowledge you as the one who will give me the outcome over here. And if it's not that outcome, I trust whatever outcome you have, and I'm practicing. So therefore, I have a lot of peace in my life, even though things don't go my way most of the time. Anybody else?
Yeah.
So there's a passage in Psalm 46. It says something amazing. I hope you'll memorize this. It says, be still and know that I am God. It's so powerful that I got it tattooed on my arm, right here. I put it in Hebrew so it looks cool. I put it right there instead of here or here or somewhere else. I put it on my arm so that when I wake up in the morning, I can practice being still. Because what I want to do is the same thing you want to do, which is to control. And control leads to anger and fear and worry. So I look down and say, okay, Lord, this situation, I put it in your hands. This way, I let go of the outcome. I put it in your hands. Because I know in my heart, peace of God is received through practice, not a prayer. Now, I think we should pray. I think you should pray all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. But when it comes to a skill or an attribute you're trying to ascertain, for example, if you wanted to ascertain sexual purity or talking less, you have to practice, not just pray about it. And the same thing is true for peace. See, most of the spiritual life requires practice, but that's the very thing we don't want to do. We're like Allen Iverson. You ever see Allen Iverson in that little interview he did? Practice. Who needs to practice? I don't practice. Never seen it? Okay. Most of us have not seen it. Okay, that's okay. I was watching a little clip the other day on Michael Jordan. It's always good to educate people on Michael Jordan because so many people are confused. And the clip said, it was Chris Hodges. Chris Hodges used to be a three-point shooter for the Chicago Bulls back in the 90s. And Chris said that every single day in practice, they would do suicides. Now, if you don't know what a suicide is basically running from the baseline to the free throw line, back to the baseline, to the half court line, back to the baseline, to the other free throw line, back to the baseline, to the other baseline, and back and forth. It's called a suicide for a reason. It's probably not the politically correct term. Anyway, Chris Hodges said, no one ever beat Michael Jordan in a single suicide. Ever. And he's not even a point guard. But he worked hard, harder than everyone in practice. And in fact, if you talk to if you hear some of his old coaches, Phil Jackson, and even all the way back to North Carolina, Dean Smith, they all said he worked harder in practice sometimes than he did in the games. People say, oh, he's so talented. Yeah, he is. But he practiced endlessly. And so therefore he was able to attain the levels of athleticism and championships and obviously greatest of all time. It's always helpful to bring a little light and clarity to the confusion. What am I saying to you, church, today? I desire for you to have peace. I want peace. And the peace with God is received through faith, but the peace of God is received through practice. And I just don't think people are willing to practice. I mean, Paul laid it out for us in Philippians chapter 4. Listen to these words. He says, guys, don't worry about anything. Why did he say that? Because you are. Because you try to take control. And then you worry and you get angry. He says, instead of doing that nonsense, pray about it. Now, what that means is to trust God about it. Tell God what you need and thank him for everything he's done. Like, lay it in his hands. Then, watch this. Then, after you do that, you will experience God's peace. There it is. Which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your heart and mind against what? Fear, anger, worry, anxiety, frustration, all the things that plague you every single day. Some of you, like, you're a Christian, but you're not experiencing any of the benefits of Christianity other than maybe going to heaven when you die. Because you're not practicing trusting. Every day, putting the outcomes into his hands in every situation. And by no means am I advocating a passive life. I'm not saying, hey, sit on the couch and trust God and watch Netflix. No, I'm saying that as you take action, I'm a very action-oriented person. I'm doing things all the time. But as I'm taking those actions, I'm not trying to control the outcomes. So therefore, I have levels of peace because I've already said, God, I'm going to do this, but the outcome's in your hands. I'm going to say this, but the outcome's in your hands. I'm going to have this conversation, but the outcome's in your hands. I can't control it. So I'm very, very active, as you should be too. But the only way to have peace in the midst of all that activity is to put the outcome in his hands. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
And that takes practice. Some of you are familiar with the Serenity Prayer. You are? Most of us don't realize it's longer than the part that we actually have heard. You've all heard this part right here. I'm sure you have. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Have you heard that? Did you know it goes on? And I think it even gets better. Listen to this. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, Jesus, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it be. See, there's the release. I want the world to be this way. I want the waiter to treat me this way. I want the grocery store line to work, go this fast. I want this person in traffic to drive faster. I want my wife to behave this way. I want my husband to behave this way. And none of it happens. And what are you? You're just a mess of anger and frustration. And then you say, Jesus is Lord. It's like, ah. No peace. It continues. Trusting that he will make all things right if, there's the conditional part, I surrender to his will. That I may be, I love this part, reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever. I think the best we can do in this life, because this world is so screwed up. Yes? It is so backwards and screwed. There was so much. The best that we can do in this life is to be reasonably happy by surrendering our will to his. And we can expect, if we do that, to have the gift of peace that Jesus promised. Jesus said, I leave you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. Not as the world will give it. See, the world says peace will come when all your problems go away and your kids behave and no one gets robbed or hurt, there's no crime, then there'll be peace. No, God says, no, that's not gonna happen just yet. Until then, you can still have peace, a reasonable amount of happiness if you surrender your will to mine. Now, this takes practice. Are you willing to put the work in? You can get the devotional and start practicing. You start spending time with God, that's practicing. You can start small. Right now, I guarantee there's something in your life right now that's not going the way that you want it to go. And God's saying, hey, just let's just start with that. Let's just put that in my hands. Do what you can do and trust me for the outcome. Wouldn't that be something if you left here today and you started to practice? I guarantee you, if you get better and better and better with that, the shots will start falling. Fair? Now, a few moments ago, I mentioned the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, where the government will rest on his shoulders. That has not happened yet. Yes, that has not happened yet. But one day, this is what Advent is all about. We celebrate his coming. We anticipate his second coming. The second time Christ comes, he will set everything right. In fact, Revelation says he will make all things new. He will wipe away tears. There'll be no crime. There'll be no sin. There'll be no death, no disease, no need for police force or military force. Like, he is going to be the government. And he will rule with righteousness and justice. And it's going to be incredible. My question is, will you be part of that? That might not happen for 1,000 years. It might happen tomorrow. We don't know. But will you be there? Living in that community as Christ, as your Savior. Living under his rule of peace. Well, how do you say, well, how do I get into that? How do I jump into that? Well, here's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your, say it with me, your what? Your heart. Peace with God comes by faith. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from being excluded from the community that will come in the future. You must trust Christ. This is what makes Christianity unique. You must put your faith in Jesus because he's the only one who died for your sins. If I could make that decision for you, I would do it. I can't. But you can make that choice. I'm not asking you to join a church or give money or anything like that. None of that makes you right with God. It is only by faith. And so if you will trust in him today, you'll be saved and you become one of his kids. If you'd like to do that, I'm gonna say a simple prayer. Take these words, make them your own, put your faith in Jesus, believe in him, and you'll be saved today. Will you pray with me? And say, dear Jesus, I believe you came to this earth as a baby to live your life, to die on a cross, to be an offering for my sin. And so I trust you today. I believe in you today. Cleanse me from my sin. Wash it all away as I place my faith in you. Make me your child. And from this day forward, help me to practice trusting you with little things and then bigger things so that I can experience more and more of your peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, whatever campus you're at, we want to celebrate with you. Amen. Come on. Nice and loud. Now, before everybody runs out of here to go over to the Golden Corral, I see some of you already moving. I see you. I can actually see you getting up and leaving. We just want to let everybody know that if you did pray that prayer, text us the word SAVED to 65248. We would love to put a Bible in your hands and grab this at the information desk at your campus. There's also some information here about how to get connected to the church if you're looking for a church. One more time, church, can we give God glory? Amen. Okay, so next week, we're gonna be talking about joy, the third week of Advent. Guys, I'm so excited about it. I cannot wait. If you have a friend who needs some joy in their life, need Jesus, bring them next week. I'm gonna pray and dismiss the local teams. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being the Prince of Peace. May we experience peace with you and also peace from you as we learn to practice, as we learn to trust you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Bring a friend.